Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds great. To kick off, there are three notices. You'll find two of them on the back, but I'm going to start with one that was just handed this morning. Tom West passed away yesterday afternoon. Funeral arrangements are undecided at this time. Wednesday night supper was postponed from last Wednesday to this Wednesday. If you made a reservation, it will carry over to this week. If not, call the church office. Come listen to Joyce Perez's lesson on the Great Commissioning. And I'm not going to read what the menu is, but it looks good, and you know it is good. See you there. If you are interested in helping with God's Storehouse, they have a backpack program. Call the office if you're interested, because they will need some help this, Thursday, March the 7th at 4 o'clock. And again, that's God's Storehouse.
We have with us today another reason, beside the cake and signing cards, to go back to the Dunglinson Roberts room after the service, and that is to meet Zach Carter. He is the development officer for the Presbyterian Children's Home for the Highlands near Withville, and he's going to bring us some greetings and a little bit about the ministry there in Withville. So Zach, please come on.
Good morning. I am Zach Carter, the development officer for the Presbyterian Children's Home of the Highlands, and that is a tongue twister. So I just like to say PCHH. So if you hear me say PCHH, that means Presbyterian Children's Home of the Highlands. We are located in Withville, and I am delighted to be here and have the opportunity to speak with you folks today. As you guys may or may not already know, First Presbyterian Church has been a longtime supporter of the Presbyterian Children's Home of the Highlands, so it is a real honor for me to be here with you folks. Your unwavering support means a great deal to us, and we greatly appreciate it. As some of you may know, the Children's Home was founded in 1919 at the old Railroad Hotel in Foster Falls, Virginia. In 1962, we needed a larger facility, so we moved to our current 89-acre location in Withville, Virginia. Let me review a couple things about how the home operates. Our programs are designed to help children work through a variety of problems and start to change their lives. Our staff not only cares for the basic needs of the children, but also assists them with skills that ensures their success when they leave us and they go into the real world. Some of these skills that the residents need include job searching, money management, shopping, food preparation, how to look for housing, and transportation needs. I know that I sure could use some refresher courses on food preparation and money management, even at my age. Food preparation, not food consumption. I'm really good at food consumption. We contract with therapists to provide our children's mental health and counseling needs. We have a medication management specialist on staff that supervises all the medication needs that our residents may require. This kind of assistance ensures that the children live in a safe and loving environment. We help foster their success both at the home and when they enter the next chapter of their life. Since starting to work at the home about a year ago, with and around children, I've been shocked and humbled by some of the stories about their lives. Many of our children have survived real-life nightmares. Here are a few examples from our case files. Can you imagine being abused by your father and grandfather from the age of 2? Experiencing 14 foster home placements within 1 year. That's not staying in one place more than a month. Having to satisfy your severe hunger pains from food from a dumpster. Having your home literally blow up around you because your parents were making meth. Being run over by your own mother after falling off the hood of her car when she was drunk driving. Or living in a house so filthy that the authorities had to burn it down. One story that has pulled on my heartstrings, it is about 3 siblings that were placed with us. They came from an unimaginable home, and at this time, by the grace of God, we had 3 open placements. It was meant for us to help this family. When the children came to live at the home, the youngest boy asked one of the case managers, "Are you our owner now?" And just that verbiage, and that a child would think that a guardian or somebody that's supposed to take care of them owns them. It reaffirms what I'm doing, and it reaffirms the love and support that you guys have given us. And thank God there is a place for children like this. To counteract these negative stories I've just told you, we have many positive stories, many success stories. 3 of our seniors graduated last May, and I look for 2 or 3 more to graduate this May. Our graduates are following many different paths. Some are pursuing jobs in the community, and others are attending local community colleges. Many of our current residents are involved with our Giving Back Service program. One of our children is a senior at UVA Wise, has been active in many clubs and organizations on campus, and was awarded the Dean's List last year, and I look for him to be awarded it again this year. There's a place for these children thanks to folks like you and your prayers and financial support. This September, we will be conducting the celebration of our 100th anniversary. We were founded in 1919, so in 2019, we turned 100 years old. This September, on September 19th through the 21st, we will be having our celebration. On Thursday the 19th, we will enjoy an evening service and an ice cream social at the original home in Foster Falls. We will have our board of directors meeting on Friday, and then on Saturday there will be a day of celebration on our current campus. This celebration will include delicious food, games for children, uplifting music, campus tours, and fellowship with fellow supporters of our ministry. As I mentioned earlier, the 100th anniversary campaign is focused on growing our endowment. The Sarah Ellen Garden of Hope is a way that we are going to commemorate those individuals, churches, and organizations that give $1,000 or more to our endowment campaign. The Sarah Ellen Garden of Hope was a gift by the Harless Trust in memory of Sarah Ellen Harless. We will be honoring those who wish to give a smaller amount in other ways. Thank you again for allowing me the privilege of speaking with you today. I will be glad to answer any questions you may have after the service. And when you folks are in the Wytheville area, please stop by and visit us. We would love to show you in person the vital ministry to children you are supporting. Thank you so much for your continuing prayers and financial support as we continue our mission of giving our children hope and purpose for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carter, for that eye-opening minute for missions. And now, please join me in the reading of the responsive call to worship. I'm sorry, you want me to play the piano?
Thank you.
And now for the responsive call to worship, if you would join me in the reading. Trust in God and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Let us worship God. Please join me now in the reading of the prayer of confession, followed by silent prayers of confession. O God Most High, our bodies are perishable, but you have sent Christ the promise of our resurrection. Aging limits us, disease burdens us, and disabilities undermine our capacity to function. We are frail creatures at best. Yet we glorify these bodies, that they are temples we worship. When some threatens afflict them, we are distraught or destroyed. We confess our idolatry. Teach us to number our days to Christ's glory and to forgive our vain worship of ourselves. Amen. And now for the reading of the assurance of pardon. Remember that in all things we are more than conquerors because of God's love. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please come up, Kent. Wow, and I don't even drink. Please forgive me. But
any children this morning? Dad, you want to come too? You want to just have a seat up here? Good morning. Good morning, children. In our Bible reading this morning, Jesus tells the disciples, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." You have an idea what that means?
No.
Does it mean if you pushed your dad, it's okay for him to push you back? Do you think Jesus was saying that? That's right. That would be doing to others the way they do to you, wouldn't it? I have some examples here that we can look at and see maybe what Jesus was talking about. I have a bag of candy right here, but I only have enough money to buy one bag, so I'm going to give it to Dad. All right, what's some way that do to others, treat others the way you would like to be treated? The bag is open. That's right, you can share with one another. You want to get your little piece of candy out of there? Or you can pick it out later. Thank you. That's a nice sharing. That's what Jesus was talking about.
Thank you.
You share with people. All right. How about this? I've got a book here. And I was going to read a story to talk to. Look at that. I made a mess, didn't I? How can we use that as an example of treat people the way we would want to be treated? That's right. That's right. Everybody helps out. Right? Helping one another is the way we can treat other people the way that we want to be treated. Finally, I've got this video on YouTube on my phone here. You just pop up. well, come over here. You got to see this. This thing, it is funny. You won't believe it. You want to come over and see it, too? Oh, come yeah. over here.
Yeah.
No, I'd invite you. This thing is so funny. It's just hilarious. But wait a minute.
Okay.
What's wrong with this? What's wrong with what we got right here?
Well, I think social media is kind of wrong myself.
Yeah.
But
we didn't.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, we didn't include everybody. Yeah, Jesus, he's probably hurt his feelings, did it? So we want everybody to be included. That's what Jesus was talking about, treating other people like we would want to be treated. Include everybody and not hurt anybody's feelings. All right, let's have a prayer. Gracious Lord, help us to always treat other people, do unto them the way that we would want to be treated, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Thank you. Okay, you can take the bag, can't we?
Thank you, Kent. And now for the prayer for illumination. Please join in with me. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The first scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 38. The resurrection body. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
thank you to Heather and the choir for an inspirational piece, inspirational anthem this morning. We now turn to our gospel lesson. We are continuing into Luke chapter 6, Jesus' message on the plain. After Jesus talks about the blessings and the woes last week, he continues to teach his disciples with these challenging words. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. We get to the passage that Kent talked to the children about. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those for whom you have hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. In the church, you hear a lot of sermons around the question or the topic of who is my neighbor, and rightly so. But whenever we come to our gospel lesson for Luke for today, another question pops into my brain. Who is my enemy? And that in today's world is an equally relevant question. We were talking about this passage in our staff meeting this week, and we had to admit to ourselves that this was not our favorite passage. It is one that challenges our natural inclinations. It is a passage that we would all kind of like to forget, if you have to put it in a simple way. When dealing with such weighty, challenging topics, I always look for some humor in the matter. And I found two stories that tackle the subject of how you treat your enemy that tackle it in a little bit different way. They both tackle it in a different way. The first story comes about a little girl who came home from Sunday school and asked her father if she could send a note to Osama bin Laden. Why him? Asked the startled father. Because, said the little girl, if Mr. bin Laden got a nice note from a little American girl, maybe he'd think that we're all not that bad and he might start liking us a little bit. And then maybe he'd write a note back and come out of his cave and talk to people about our differences. Susie, said the proud father, that's a wonderful idea. Yes, said Susie, and once he's out of the cave, the Marines could blast him to kingdom come. I hope Susie didn't get that idea from Sunday school. How do we treat our enemies? A better approach is described in another story I read this week, one that happened long ago when things were looking darkest for the free world and Adolf Hitler was addressing a large audience in Germany. And on that front row sat a man of pronounced Semitic appearance. following his address, Hitler came down from the platform and walked up to the man and said, "While I was speaking, you were laughing. What were you laughing about?" The man replied, "I was not laughing. I was thinking." "What were you thinking about?" asked Hitler. "I was thinking about my people, the Jews, and that you are not the first man who didn't like us. A long time ago, there was another man that didn't like us. His name was Pharaoh, and he put a heavy burden on us down there in Egypt. But for years, we Jews have had a feast called the Passover. And at that feast, we have a little three-cornered cake, and we eat that cake in memory of Pharaoh. Years later, there was another man who didn't like us. His name was Haman. And he did his best to get rid of all the Jews throughout the reign of King Ahasuerus. But for years, we Jews had another feast called the Feast of Purim. And at that feast, we have a little four-cornered cake, and we eat that cake in memory of Haman. And while you were up there speaking, sir, I was here thinking and wondering what kind of cake we were going to eat to remember you by." Oh my, if forgiveness were as easy as eating a piece of cake, I would have had it made. Mad at a politician, eat a Twinkie. Mad at someone at church, go over and get one of the oatmeal cookies at Midtown Market. But we all know that it is never that easy to forgive someone. And in today's world, we seem to be finding new and inventive ways to get angry at people, to hold grudges, to dwell in our vengeful natures, so much so that it is hard to find someone who is not your enemy in some way. Maybe they're of a different political party or have a different gender identity. Maybe they are the opposite side of some social issue or have some different religious point of view. People have developed an ever-increasing list of things that divide us, and an ever-decreasing willingness to try to miss or to understand someone else's point of view, to the extent that we are becoming more adept at making enemies than making disciples. It makes you yearn for the days when the lines were clearly drawn between the good guys and the bad guys. Democracy, good. Fascist, communist, socialist, bad. United States, good. Russia, China, bad. People with white hats in Western movies and TV shows, good. People with the black hats were the evil ones. We look back to when there were clear lines drawn, when it came to moral standards and political ideals, standards that were supposedly going to lead to prosperity and happiness for all. And we wish for a time when you knew who your friends were because they shared the same values and ideals. Today, the lines between the good guys and the bad guys have become so blurry that we have become wary of literally everybody. But as I thought about that question, another popped into my head. Have the lines become less distinct, or have our sensitivities to them and our prioritization of which lines are the most important become so individually determined that we have lost the ability to say with certainty what our common community values are? Maybe that is why the teachings of Jesus on the plain that we read today are so difficult to hear. We simply don't listen to what we don't want to hear. When Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, turn the other cheek, Give your shirt as well as your cloak. Give to anyone who asks. Like a 2-year-old that has been told time and time again to go to bed, we simply ignore what we hear and do what we want. Love your enemies? You have got to be kidding. Do good to those who hate you? More like attack their character and seek to destroy their life. Bless those who curse you? More like bless them out. Pray for those who abuse you? More like seek vengeance and retribution. Forgiveness may not be a 4-letter word, but for many who have not heard or heeded the word of God, it is just as disgusting a connotation. But where has attack politics and self-defined moral codes and intolerant religious institutions and unforgiving attitudes, where has that brought us? It has led to a distrust in all the things that we used to find comforting. Political systems have become gridlocked. It has led to a mistrust of the church as an institution to the extent that when new churches are founded, they don't call themselves churches anymore because it's a bad word. They're a fellowship or a gathering or a worship community. Our unforgiving attitudes have led to suspicion of neighbor and reliance upon violent solutions rather than mediation and conversation. What if we did give more than just lip service to Jesus' teachings on the plain? Turning the other cheek often happens unexpectedly, sometimes after long seasons of hurt and anger. Doing to others what we would desire done to us, that takes practice with lots of missteps along the way. I don't think Jesus' teaching is meant to be a box that is checked. It is rather a lifelong practice honed by trial and error. At least that's what my experience has been. When rifts occur within communities, the ones that I know best, getting to a place of mercy comes in stages. It comes with fits and starts and glimpses of grace mixed with extended stretches of threatening terrain. A dinner with a pleasant conversation is considered progress. A moment of laughter, like a visitation from the Spirit. Enough time lapses to talk without immediately getting defensive, that's a major step toward one another. Eventually, cautiously, forgiveness creeps into the cracks and creates bonds stronger in the broken places. When I read Jesus' sermon on the plain, or when I read it, I don't so much think of loving faraway enemies, although that's important. I hear Jesus' call to seek reconciliation with those closest to me, those I've harmed knowingly and unknowingly. Being merciful requires proximity. Come closer to me, not to wound or punish, but to talk, to embrace, to kiss. Loving those we are not inclined to love means recognizing the impulse to do otherwise and turning toward them instead of pushing away the people we've hurt. In a climate in which immediate and total judgment get amplified, demonstrations of mercy, forgiveness, and love don't come easily. They take intention. An intervention by the Holy Spirit. They take a willingness to call on Jesus rather than capitulate to our own instincts. Some reunions are years, are generations even in the making. But imagine what a wave of grace such reconciliation might create. God help us. Let's affirm our faith, stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found in your aids to worship. Let us affirm together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing our hymn of response, number 335. And although it says, the title in there is Though I May Speak, this is one of those hymns that has a couple different titles. So we are singing number 335. Please be seated. As Gail mentioned, we will be praying for all the friends of Tom West. So we want to include that. Do we have any other additional prayer concerns or joys that folks would like to share today? Okay. If not, let us continue in prayer. Guardians of our lives, you have carried a people in your womb and given birth to a nation. You have fed them and sustained them. You have watched over their comings and goings, welcomed them home from their wayward journeys. We thank you that we are heirs of your covenant with that nation, and that you believe Christ has called us to be part of the household of faith. Take into your bosom those whose journeys are perilous, who venture for a time through uncertain terrain. Embrace them, lead them with your comforting presence. Make them aware of your Spirit, who accompanies them in their plight. As Christ, who walked the bitter path to Calvary, guides them, may they travail, but their travail give birth to new life, nurtured by hope. When risk is certain, we pray for those who fear taking steps of faith. Grant them courage to embark on new paths of discipleship and sufficient training and discipline to follow your will. Place our feet on the firm foundation of your eternal faithfulness and help us to trust your promises. To those engaged in responding to Christ's sermon, loving enemies, feeding strangers, giving support, and continuing challenges, help us to learn from them what bold commitment can mean. As you called Jacob, Israel, and set apart a people, we join with our ancestors in response to your grace. And part of that response is to lift up to you, brothers and sisters in faith, that are in special need of your love and care this day. We ask that you would be with the family and friends of Tom West. We thank you for the service he rendered to your church, for the gifts that he shared in so many different ways with so many different people. And we ask that you be with his friends as they celebrate his life this week, remembering the blessed assurance that through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, he has eternal life, and we have a blessed hope. We ask that you would continue to be with the people of Togo as they struggle through political turmoil. Bring about a peaceful and just solution to their many problems. Be with them in the midst of violence and chaos. We ask that you would be with those who are in need of your healing this day. We ask that you be with Claudine, with Amy, with Lisa and Charles, Lib and Matthew, Diane and Kathleen. Hear our prayers for Martha Jo, for Greg, for Bobby, for Gail, for Beth and Bill. Hear our prayers for Dana, for Parker, for Frio, for Ella. Hear our prayers for Sandra, for Jim, for Willem, Mary, Nulty, Bill, and Ann. We give you thanks that you continue to work within James Sr. and James Jr. and Helen, Diane, Jane. Be with all of our service personnel who work so diligently to protect our freedoms, to bring peace to this world that is so chaotic. Keep them safe. Guide them in their actions. Be with those who are first responders, who protect us here at home. Be with our police and our firefighters and our rescue personnel. They risk their lives sometimes that we might be safe, and we ask your protection over them. And we ask that you would hear our prayers for those who wish to remain unnamed, for you know their needs and will answer their prayers in your infinite wisdom. And bind us together as your people as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering? Let us pray. Oh God, who in Christ taught us how to be faithful, we respond to his instruction, seeking your favor. Be pleased with the offerings we give you. May our actions contribute to the well-being of others. Surprise the offender with our peaceful solutions, and startle the beggar by our willing response. For then we shall love neighbors as Christ bade us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And our final hymn this morning is number 391, Take My Life and Let It Be.